Hi, welcome to Take No Script. This is June.
And this is Riley.
And this past 2 weeks, we watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I totally blanked on getting a little blurb, but it's basically a movie where you can erase your memories in this world, and we follow this couple who has had their memories erased of each other, and we follow them in reverse through their timeline.
Yes.
Okay, maybe first thing, you said that you felt differently watching it the second time?
Yeah, so I have watched this movie before. June has not, mm-mm, right? Okay, so I've watched this movie before, and it was a while ago. So I remembered the premise of it, like the whole sci-fi bit and the memory erasing bit of it. But maybe I had these feelings before too, but I didn't remember having like so many thoughts about the characters themselves as I did this time.
Mm-hmm.
I was much younger then. So Vic watched it with me and he said that he also just saw it very differently.
Did you see it more, maybe not negatively, but critically? It sounds like you had like thoughts that are less positive, maybe?
I think so. This ties a little bit into some stuff we might get into later, but a little bit about Joel's character,
mm-hmm,
and how much of a creep I thought he was. And I don't know if I really had many thoughts about him before, at least that I can remember. And that might be, you know, when I saw this movie for the first time, it was because Vic had watched it a while ago and really liked it and wanted to share it with me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the way I was watching it was differently too, because it's someone sharing a movie they really like with you.
Mm.
And we probably smoked a bunch of weed anyway, which just changes the movie. A lot of it was character-based for me, at least. I think I was analyzing the characters more than I had before. I didn't think of it so much as a romantic story, which I think maybe last time I did. This is really hard to say too, because it was a really long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's packaged that way too.
Yeah. I think I came away from it feeling like it was kind of a romance. I know some people have said that this is their like comfort movie, like one of their like love comfort movie kind of a thing. And I did not get that feeling, but it definitely felt pretty romantic to me just on the first watch.
Well, I wanted to know what you thought of it in general. So it was your first time.
So I really liked it. I was super impressed with the acting. Like, yeah. Kate Winslet, because I've really only seen her in Titanic and a couple of other things that I can't name. But I've seen mostly her period pieces, and I was so blown away by her acting.
I love her. She's really good at transforming into the character that she needs to be, because this is such a different character for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
And I thought the cinematography was really good. I don't think that I was as impressed by the like commentary that it had on love and relationships and stuff, but I think it's probably a similar thing with Fight Club, where I've seen all the derivatives, and so, yeah, of course, going back to it, it feels less inspired. Like, it was the OG sort of an idea.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think I had an overall like pretty positive impression of it. Did you have different takeaways about what it was saying about relationships and love and losing love?
I mean, like, grief hits me hard, as it hits most people really hard. I think that enmeshment that happens in relationships and the grief that comes once you lose that, and like how you cope and adapt and develop back into a new person essentially after the fact, that really hit me this time around. And I don't know if the movie's trying to point at anything about soulmates or if it's commenting on anything like that.
I thought about soulmates too.
Yeah, which I don't believe in soulmates, so I mean, it's still enjoyable to watch even if I don't believe in soulmates. And I like the idea of a soulmate. I think that is so sweet. I just realistically could not believe in one. But yeah, I mean, like, I think that'd be so fucking cute if really there's this one person and you guys just always manage to find each other no matter what. Like, that's mm-hmm. so fucking cute. But I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
And that's why the thing about the romance hit me differently this time around, because of the dependency aspect. Like, it felt like they were dependent on each other more than anything.
Mm.
Not so much soulmates, but they needed this other person mm-hmm. in some way, even though it seemed like they probably broke up because they were having a really hard time. To me, it felt like it made sense that they broke up, so it didn't feel very romantic for them to get back together. It just felt like, oh well, this is what we're used to, we know this, you know, like, I've lived being enmeshed with you for all this time, and
mm-hmm.
I remember you even after having my memory erased. Like, I remember you and that feeling, and that's comfortable and safe, which for me just felt less romantic because it felt like no longer a choice.
I had the same idea as you, that I don't believe that humans have soulmates, but the concept of it is so sweet to me, and I think the security mm-hmm. in there being that person that's made for you and the person that you're made for is really comforting to me. And I didn't know if the film was trying to say that these were soulmates and that, you know, like the opposites attract idea. They're so different, and that's like that fire and ice clashing together is what makes them so good for each other despite the roller coaster. At the end, I kind of felt like, isn't the same thing just going to happen? Especially given the fact that you erased your memories. So it's not like you're trying again for the second time, knowing what lies at the end. You're just hearing what is essentially a secondhand account of what you may or may not feel. And that's a different impact, you know?
Yeah.
It also, I agree with you, I don't think that it really felt like a thoughtful choice. I think Joel's like, I can't think of anything, like, I don't see anything I don't like about you right now, right? And it's like, well, of course you don't. You don't know me, you know? You just yeah. hear this, like, random account of what you think yeah. Clementine is.
Yeah, he said that while he was listening to the recording of what he said previously when they broke up,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, he thought those things at some point, so it's weird.
I definitely get the, like, codependency aspect, so I don't really, I think it's less that I don't remember what it's like, but I haven't really lived as an adult by myself. Right? So I think there's probably an aspect of codependency, feeling like I need a person, but I guess it's not really a choice. And I think love is like a choice that you make. Like, you make a choice to love a person, and you make a choice to act in loving ways towards that person and show love. Part yeah. of that is making compromises, which it looks like they were not really able to make at all. Maybe this was just me being, like, a bitch, but going in, I honestly didn't think I would like Clementine's character, because she was painted as being, like, the stereotypical manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
But throughout it, I found myself really liking her and really not just relating to her, but also feeling like she had really good points. And just thinking that it doesn't feel like Joel's willing to make any compromises. And that's something you just have to do.
I mean, she did come off as a little wacky a lot of times. I like her character. I do get a strong manic pixie dream girl vibe anyway. Which I don't love. I felt like she was painted out to be a little crazy, and I didn't see too much else. Like, I think it did focus on Joel's perspective more than anything, and, like, he got to develop more as a character than she did.
Yeah.
I liked her character so much that I wanted to see more of her character's development in it.
I thought it would have been so much more interesting from her perspective. And even though she literally has a line about so many men think that I will complete them and I won't because I'm just a human being, mm-hmm. we don't even really get to see that. Like, we only see Joel's life being, like, completed by her.
Yeah, and that line is very much like the manic pixie dream kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's stopping there and us not getting to see the nuance behind that mm-hmm. is kind of lacking. And I think that is also one of the things for me that was a little bit different this time watching it. The first time, I just liked her character. This time, I liked her character. I also disliked the way that we saw her character and the way that she was portrayed, and I wanted to know more about her character. And, well, anyway, I thought Joel was just a creep a lot of times, so I didn't really...
I did not like Joel. There were so many things that annoyed me about him.
Well, along the other lines, though, too, just to kind of touch on what you were saying about the codependency, because I've also been the same way and not have had, like, a break as just a single adult ever. And it's a weird choice to have made, or lack thereof. But it's also what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm also not going to beat myself up for being someone that's codependent, because it's like, whatever. I'm yeah. living okay enough.
There are worse things to be than, like, a little bit too codependent.
Yeah, like, so what if I just, like, need someone around? Whatever. I'm not murdering anyone. But yeah, so Joel, I thought, was very creepy. He's just, gosh, like, right off the bat, watching her and, like, drawing pictures of her, and then we hear his thoughts, and he's thinking about, like, how he just falls in love with any girl that's nice to him. That is so many guys, and it bothers me so much, because, and that's why this time especially I was like, oh my god, he's such a fucking creep, because we know creeps like that.
Yes. And
creeps like that are why it's difficult for women to, even sometimes, as much as I want to be nice, or sometimes I am nice and then I regret it because it's yes. taken the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because somehow, like, they think that you're there to fulfill something in them. Yeah. Like Clementine says, which again is why I would have wanted to see more of her perspective on that, because I think that would be more relatable for me. Yeah, to just dissect that side of it more, because I get enough of the Joel character falling in love with anyone who, like, looks at him a certain way.
Right off the bat, I was irritated when he said, how am I going to meet someone new if I can't even look a woman in the eyes?
Right.
And it's people like that I feel like you don't look at someone of the opposite gender and think they're a person who happens to be, you know, a man or a woman. You just look at them and you see man or woman and person second, you know, and for, like, creeps like this, it's like, oh, woman over, like, anything else. Uh-huh. And that's just so dehumanizing and creepy to me. And then, yeah, the whole, why do I fall in love with anyone who shows the least bit of kindness? And that's such a uncomfortable situation to be on the receiving end of, because yeah. you're literally just trying to be polite and just trying to be a decent fucking human being. And then these guys think that this is you showing interest, and now you have to deal with this uncomfortable situation. Or they feel, like, angry about it. Like, oh, you led me on. And it's like, well, I didn't do anything. But then if you just ignore them or you act cold, then it's like, oh, you're stereotyping men and you're, like, acting with this prejudice. And it's like, yes, and I'm also just trying to protect myself from, like, all these negative experiences that women just have all the time, you know? From, yeah. like, not, obviously not all men, but, like, creeps specifically like this.
That happens so often. Then people think you're shitty if you're not nice.
People also think you're shitty if you complain about it. Like, oh, what? You're complaining because you're desirable and attractive? And it's like, no, that's not the problem here.
No, that's not it. It's just like, I actually just want to be seen as a person first. Just a person who has nothing to do with you. I'm just a person, and you're also just a person, and that can be it sometimes. And most of the time, that's it.
Yeah.
And it sucks not being able to be. I know so many women who just, like, are too nice. And then they get taken advantage of for being too nice. People swear, like, men swear, like, oh, yeah, she wants to fuck me. It's like, no, that's so fucking weird. That's so weird to minimize a person to just a fuck object. And that's what she's there for, is just to satisfy you. You think that's kind of her existence in this interaction in this world. And no, I hate that. Yeah, Joel creeped me out.
And then I think it just solidified even more seeing the way that he treated her in the relationship. He doesn't treat her like a person. He doesn't, he continues to not see her as a person.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, I know that there's nuance to this, but even the imagery of him just dragging her around through his memories, you know, he's just dragging her wherever. And when he, I think it really was like a gut punch when she is saying that, you know, he doesn't really open up in comparison to her. And
yeah.
He's like, well, you just talk a lot. It's really not that interesting.
Oh, I felt that. Yeah.
Ah, something in my gut just like recoiled from that. Because I don't know about you and Vic, but Joe and I definitely have a dynamic where I am the open book. Any of my feelings and thoughts, I just kind of put out there. And he's much more quiet and reserved about his emotions.
Yeah, watching that scene, I saw a lot of myself in that, because I feel like I've said those exact things to Vic
before. Too, yeah.
Where I'm like, look, I'm an open book. I tell you everything. And I tell you everything because I want you to know me. Of
yes.
anyone, I want you to know me. And I want to know you, like really know you.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's so important for me to put in the time and the emotional energy to make sure that I share. Even if I don't want to share, to make sure that I share so that he's there with me. Even if he's not there with me, he's there with me and he understands what's going on with me. And to me, that is like a core foundation of a relationship in my eyes. Like, it's something that I value, which is, of all the people that I will ever know in my life, I would hope that, like, we get such a special thing, right? Like, I think it's such a cool, special thing that you get to be with someone and spend your life with someone. And, like, living with someone, what a weird fucking thing to choose to
do.
Yeah,
it really
but
is.
But also, like, what a cool thing to get to do, you know? Like, to inhabit a space together. And for us to have all that, I think of anyone, I want to, like, know all the things. And I want him to know all the things. Yeah, there always feels like there's this disconnect there, because you, Clementine, we give a lot.
Yeah.
We give, like, all of ourselves, and I just want to know more. That one hit me. There were a couple times I cried this time, and I don't remember crying last time, but I cried this time watching it.
Did you have a similar reaction to when he's, like, journaling about them going to the diner or something for sushi, and he's like, oh, are we, like, the sad couples that you feel sad for in a restaurant?
Yes.
That pissed me off so much. Like, what do you mean? Like, why are you thinking about how other people see you? Just enjoy this moment with this person that you're supposed to love. You're supposed to be sharing everything, like your life, your soul, your innermost thoughts. And you just minimize it down to, oh, are other people, like, jealous or not?
Yeah, and also boiling it down to a moment in your relationship. Relationships are, like, constantly up and down.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. In the moment, if you're having a shitty time in your relationship, I don't think it's fair for you to define your relationship by that shitty moment.
Yeah.
It is more than just that one moment. Like, it's all the ups, it's all the downs, it's everything in between. And yeah, to be sitting there in that moment and just be feeling like, oh great, we're one of those couples, just kind of diminishes everything else. And yeah, I think it was fucking weird what she ended up bringing up at dinner, which is like, whatever, because she's just a weird person. But yeah, the fact that we are hearing his perspective throughout the movie, I guess that's really mostly what we can comment on is his side. And I know a lot of men that do that, like men that I'm close with and my family and like friends that do that, that have a hard time separating things, and whatever the current state is, they kind of just fill that in everywhere and assume that like all of time has been this way.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'm gonna move on a little bit if you don't mind.
Oh, but yeah,
I had
of course.
Something here about if I think that Clementine and Joel will last a second time.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think that they would. I think that this is, they're just going through the cycle again. And we saw no change in him. There was nothing that changed. All we saw was two people who they were. Again, we know very little about Clementine and what was going on with her at the time. But for him, at least, we know he hasn't changed. And all he's doing is falling back into the same thing where he's looking at it from, like, a, you know, like, rose-colored glasses and thinking, like, oh, yeah, that was so great. Just because he's living through these little memories. And then it's just going to happen again where he's going to think she's crazy and annoying and talks too much and he's not going to open up anymore.
You know what pissed me off and what really made me lose hope that he had developed was at the very end when he's losing that very first memory and he walks out of the house again. He doesn't even try to say goodbye. He doesn't even decide to stay there in memoriam, you know? He just decides to walk out. And she has to call him back and be like, why don't you change it this time? Like, you can do whatever you want. You can decide to be here. I saw that and I was like, yeah, like, he's not going to be vulnerable. He's not going to do that difficult thing of emotionally putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
You mentioned soulmates and I wanted to know what you thought about this. Like, so if you erase memories of somebody, they didn't make it sound, or I guess they didn't address it at all, but does that revert all the changes that you underwent while you were with them?
Like any growth, any new brain grooves?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are definitely things that by virtue of my relationships, I've thought differently about certain things. I've changed my behavior or my personhood has changed. And mm-hmm. if you erase those memories, do I just go back to being who I was before all that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting, though. I wonder which one sounds more appealing to you.
I think the idea that she was changed as a result of her relationship with Joel and not having any understanding as to why she just woke up and felt like a different person, that logic feels less icky to me than it just being her destiny to end up with this dude.
Yeah. I would hope that if they did something like that, that you would still hang on to the growth and changes that were made to you as a person, because I think that's still valuable for your existence. There's all other sorts of stuff tied into that as far as, like, literally getting older and, like, mm-hmm. your actual physical brain and body changing that I don't think should be lost, because there's something about, but yeah, just, like, getting rid of the person. Although I don't know if I would, like, how do you even have learned something if you don't have memory of the experience that helped you learn it? Like, you can't call back to anything. It's just like, oh yeah, I know this. I don't know why I know this, but, like, I know this. Because Clementine, yeah, she was in distress because she felt like she didn't know herself. Like, she was going crazy and, like, didn't know herself and, like... But I think that that, too, is just part of herself was also in her relationship to Joel. Yeah, so I don't know how you actually would erase something like that successfully. I mean, they obviously weren't very successful at it. If they were, then no one would be going back to any of their exes. Like, it's also so weird, the thing with Kirsten Dunst's character and the doctor guy.
That was so weird to me.
The fact that she continued to work for him after that, isn't part of it that you're supposed to, like, get rid of everything so you don't... There's nothing there that's gonna, like, remind you of anything. You know, you don't get mixed up.
I think they made her so overly into him to make it less, like, creepy. Because if it was, like, him, the one who's doing the seducing, and then he erases her memories, and then he still has her working for him, then it gets really, like, you know, like, criminal kind of fast. I wasn't even sure if it was her decision because he told her that that's what she wanted. But then during the tapes, she
says... I thought that too.
Right? She says she can't do it. And then he says, that's what we decided was for the best. And it sounds really coerced. Which I thought was fucked up.
I definitely got that impression. I mean, that whole thing was kind of creepy anyway. Maybe I'm slightly ageist. But he seemed way too old. Like, how young was she when this happened?
She looks like she's, like, 21, 22, maybe. you know, and she, like, I think the power imbalance where she's so obviously starstruck, the idea of someone decades younger than you showing you all this attention as, like, some kind of temptation you can't overcome, I think is such bullshit. Like, I think it's used to justify all these shitty things, and it's not. You have self-control. Like, you have a prefrontal cortex.
Yeah. I don't know if they do. But... yeah, I mean, that was the same thing with Joel, too, though. Oh, this... What flattery.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I do? I mean, all the guys in this movie were really creepy.
Patrick made me feel so sick.
Which one was Patrick?
Elijah Wood.
Oh my god, disgusting.
Disgusting!
Oh my it's god, so disgusting.
And then I thought I was gonna like Mark Ruffalo's character, and then I also hated him. He reduces this guy literally using medical information to seduce some girl that he has the hots for and stealing her literal panties. And he's just like, oh, bro, that's so weird. Like, you know, it's not even really, hey, this is a really predatory thing to do.
I mean, was this movie commenting more on how men are in relationships?
I don't know if I believe that it was that self-aware. I wish that I could.
We didn't see too much of him, but even David Cross's character was just like, oh, what the fuck? Like, all the men were just really intense and extreme and made no sense as people.
I do want to hear what you think about opposites attract. Like, if you find that to be true for you, or if you've seen that be true.
I've come to the conclusion, for now at least, that you need things in common first. And I think that's more important than having things that are opposite in order to attract. I think that anyone that I've been attracted to, it's usually been, whether I'm attracted to things that are opposite, it's the things that are the same that keep us together. Because
mm-hmm.
I think it's very true that I might be a certain way, and so I might be attracted to someone that complements the way I am as opposed to mirroring it. But a lot of that tends to be like personality based more than core values and things we like to do. Like, I think all that, with some variance, but still, like, a similar sense of humor, I think, is one of the most important things. And I wouldn't be with someone who had an opposite sense of humor to me. I would hate them. I think it's more important that things are the same.
I really like that way of phrasing it, where you have to have things in common first. There are so many things that if you're just not compatible in, then no matter how much you're attracted to each other or love each other, a relationship is just not going to work out. Or you're going to be miserable and separate after 20 years because you can't take it anymore. Okay. And then I had like a question that I didn't know how to word in a PC way, maybe, or a sensitive way.
Oh, it's fine. Who cares?
Do you feel like romantic love is a core part of living life to its fullest if you're not aromantic? I know there's a lot of people that are like choosing to be single for a lot of different reasons, and a lot of people that say that they feel happier or more fulfilled or just as fulfilled doing that. And I wanted to know what you thought about that idea.
I don't know, that's a hard one. I just have my own experience, you know, and my experience is, very codependent. So, there aren't times when it's not easy to imagine what it would be like to not have someone.
I think I get what you mean.
Okay, let me say it again, because I feel like I said it in some weird, like, backwards way, like, no sense. Like, I have had times where it's been somewhat easy imagining a life being single and happy, but realistically, I don't think that would be the case. Not that I don't think that'd be the case, but just, like, it doesn't really fit in with the way that I've chosen to do things historically. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'd love to ask someone who would seriously be willing to talk about it and not just give me their bullshit, like, canned response. It could just be that they say that because that's their way of coping.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or that they really are fulfilled. I don't know, because biologically, we are people who like to be with other people. We're social creatures. Yeah. I know there are, like, anomalies there, but biologically, we do crave certain things, and we do crave love and, like, touch and
emotional intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, there's people that deviate from that, but that's not for sure. The average person. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how that would be that they'd be, like, completely happy.
I think every single one of my friends who says something along the lines of, I just don't see myself being in a relationship ever. I like being by myself. The moment that they find someone that they want to be with, it's complete 180. It's,
yeah, right. So it sounds like a way of them coping. Like, if I say it out loud, then I can make it true and I can feel okay right now.
Right. Biologically, we are social beings. And even aside from just being around people, I think that emotional intimacy and feeling understood, heard, cared about, those are things that are really difficult to find in casual acquaintances. Even best friends. There isn't the expectation of a best friend making that kind of investment in you the way that is the standard for a romantic partner, the way that we have things today.
Right.
And so in my head, I just really can't see how I could ever be happy without a romantic partner in the long run, because no matter how many clubs or, like, hobby social circles or friends or whatever, it's like, that's different than, you know, someone who will literally sit in the bathroom with you while you're shitting your brains out, you know what I mean? And be like, yeah. I still love you.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, deviations, but it just, I don't know, like, when I read blogs and stuff or articles by people who have chosen that, it just, to me, always feels like you're filling your life up with so much to forget about this loneliness. Like, you're just trying to, like, put a bunch of things in there so that it fills that person-shaped hole that you have.
And that's weird for both of us to comment on, because we both have a similar way of doing things.
I also know that I'm, like, definitely more codependent. So it's obviously maybe not the average still, but then yeah. I don't know. I just feel like everyone, you know, the sample bias and stuff, like all the people that I've talked to who at least seem less codependent than I am, feel a similar kind of way.
Yeah. And maybe to like a lesser degree, but still they feel that and they want that. Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably more normal. Like, more average. I mean, I also, this is, like, getting into something else not entirely related, but I also don't totally understand people who want to be in open relationships, because I feel like that goes against what people crave in relationships. And I've never heard a single person, they always, like, trying to push their open relationship, but everyone, and please tell me if this is wrong, but every person that I've talked to who's in an open relationship seems pretty unhappy, and they're unhappy about the things that make their relationship open, basically.
Dude, okay, I have thought so much about this, because there's all this rhetoric around, like, humans aren't meant to be monogamous, and with all this, like, bullshit evolutionary biology, but I have never talked to somebody who's in a casual relationship, a situationship, open relationship, who is happy. They all seem really insecure. So if the idea of, like, a romantic relationship is that part of it is that, yeah, you deeply know and cherish this person, there's so much that goes into that. I don't know how you could possibly share that. Like, it is
with, like, multiple people. Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to get to know one person that way if you spend your whole life with them. Not to mention, like, three people that you're, like, all sharing this. And that just, I mean, I am also old-fashioned in that I feel like, I don't judge people who have sex outside of relationships. But for me personally, like, I have only ever chosen to, and probably only ever will choose to have sex within, like, monogamous relationships. Like, mm-hmm. committed ones. And I feel like for me, that's a very special thing. Like, it's not, like, a religious thing at all. It's just, like, for me, like, that's the only way that it feels special. And forming a connection, and to me that's what sex is for, you know, like in high school, even with my boyfriend, and we would have sex and then he'd have to like go home and drop me off for like curfew or whatever, and so we wouldn't have like time together afterwards, and I would just feel so sad and lonely. There's not that intimate pillow talk cuddling time afterwards, and it would just make me so sad. I don't know, I feel like I am very monogamous to a fault. Better or for worse.
Like you're saying, it takes so much time to even get to know one person, and even in open relationships, they claim to be, like, committed to the people they're with, but how do you do that? I don't know. The thing about open relationships is that, to me, a relationship with someone, because you're both putting so much effort into the thing, there are parts of the relationship that should become easier over time, because you get to really know one another, and you get to adapt to each other, and grow with each other, and compromise with each other, and mm-hmm. open relationships, to me, sound like you always want the relationship to be a problem, and, like, something that needs to be worked on, you know, because where's the time to, and I know there's different kinds of open relationships, but in general, just, like, where is the time to get to the easy parts? If you're always focused, if like the relationship is, relationships in general are such a big part of your life, and like working on them is such a big part of your life, how do you get to the parts that should be easy and should support you? That always seems a little, I'm not sold on it.
You bring up something that I've thought about before, that what happens, and I know this is like outrageous circumstance, but say that you're in a relationship to, or your partner is in a relationship with someone else, and both of you, like both you yourself and that other person, have like strokes at the same time, and you're at different hospitals. Like, who are they going to be? You know, like, there's this element of this relationship will always come first, you know? Uh-huh. Like, no matter what happens, you always choose this relationship first. And, you know, like, not that, oh, I'm going to stay in and watch movies with my partner, who cares if my mom just got in a car accident, I'm prioritizing this movie, but you know what I mean, right? So what do you do when you have to split that? Because, like, there are just things you have to split. Like, you have to split the experience of waking up next to each other, eating dinner together, like, and you have to split that in the same way. It's not like you split that with work dinners, or split that with, like, a family game night. Like, you split it in the same, you split, like, romantic one-on-one dinners. I feel like it, for me at least, goes against the idea of that stability and security that you find in these relationships.
Yeah. Also, doing certain things twice, like, I feel like that would just, I wouldn't want to do that. So sometimes I tell Vic something, and then I'm like, great, never have to tell anyone that again.
Yeah!
That was exhausting. I did it, and now I'm done. Like, imagine having to fill in multiple people and shit, just so that they, like, keep up with getting to know you and knowing these things about you. That's just so much work.
Being on the receiving end of that, for better or for worse, it would feel less special to me that it's not something that's just for me. It's something that you just are ticking off a box, like, okay, I had this experience with this person. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that it is like that, but that's just how it would feel to me, you know?
Yeah, and by the time you tell your, like, fifth girlfriend the story, you know, it's well rehearsed at that point.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's not spontaneous anymore. I think it's interesting because there was, whatever, things on my YouTube feed would pop up that were talking about the joys of open relationships. I think 4, 5, 6-ish years back, there was a lot of stuff about open relationships and how to navigate open relationships and the benefits of open relationships. And now there's definitely, like, a cultural shift back. And we're seeing that in other areas too, but...
Yeah, I think because people tried them and it wasn't working. Because most of the people that I know that were in them and that would try to rave about, oh, this is so great, I'm in an open relationship, experience the one thing that you're not supposed to experience in one of those, which is jealousy. And
they experienced it pretty hardcore. You know, I've had people talk to me about their struggles with the jealousy part. And it's like, well, that's the thing. Right. That's the whole thing.
Right. Like, if it's such a powerful emotion in you, why are you fighting it so hard?
You could just not be jealous if you just remove all the other people. Then it wouldn't be an issue. So you're saying that you're jealous. If you're a jealous person, which is people, I think, generally, then why are you, like, enforcing a thing that will just make you feel jealous? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense together. Maybe there are people out there doing it and it's working for them. I don't know them. Never talked to them.
I'm sure there are some people it works great for. I do not think that the average person who, like, thinks that open relationships just means getting to fuck whoever you want. And, like, maybe even the average person who decides to try non-monogamy is, like, the kind of person that it would work for.
It's the whole weird thing of just making it, like, things start to go mainstream. People think that that means everyone should be doing it, or, like, everyone can do it. There's probably a very...
You're not cool unless you're doing it. You're approved unless you're doing it.
Like, there must be people that are successful at it, and it works for them, and they like it. And I think it's also fair to assume that the people that are doing it well is probably a smaller group of people than the people who are actually doing it and who should be doing it. For, like, most things, like, there's a lot of things where it's like, well, maybe not everyone needs to be doing that. And we were talking about opposites attracting and got way off on open relationships.
I like that you wrote down the quote from Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I thought of that while watching this. Was it when they were at the restaurant together, or was it something else? Because there were a few moments. No, there was another part that, like, really made me cry, and I forget what part that was. Anyway, it doesn't matter when I thought of it. But the parts of this movie that I thought were, like, romantic lied basically in that.
Have we said the quote?
Oh, we haven't said the quotes. Okay, this is the quote from Everything Everywhere All at Once. In another life, I would have really liked doing laundry and taxes with you. June wrote that it's literally one of the most romantic lines of all cinema, and it really is.
It really is.
I did think of it with this movie because I actually really liked that they showed us a lot of mundane shit that these two did. Mm-hmm. Because of any of the romantic parts of the movie, I think that that's where it lived, was in the mundane.
No, I mean, I think that's true. I think love in life exists in the mundane. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in novelty or passion or whatever, like, just a singular experience, or have heightened emotions when, like, there's chaos all around you, you know. I think it's a lot harder to choose to love and choose to maintain that consideration and thoughtfulness when, you know, the highlight of your week is going to a quiet restaurant together and eating the same thing that you ordered last time too, you know, and finding something special and beautiful about that. I think that's what love is to me.
Yeah.
Like Titanic, for example, right? And it's like, oh, like, that's one of the things that's held up as this idea of what this passionate, true love looks like.
Oh gosh, not to, like, totally go back to the open relationship thing, but to me, like, that feels like you're always looking for excitement in the relationship, you know? Same thing like Titanic. It's a great love story, I think, but it's an exciting one. It's one that lives in a singular moment, and it's exciting, and who knows what would have happened beyond that. But it's all the other things. I mean, I definitely think that's where love lives, is in all the other little moments, because things can be exciting and you can experience excitement with anyone, but to really experience the mundane with someone and for that to still feel pretty good is something else.
You already know this about me, but I don't know how I feel about person I'm with doing laundry and taxes with someone else. You'd be like, wait, that's my mundane special thing that you're doing with me.
It's funny because I feel like it's easy to get caught up day to day sometimes and get frustrated by those things. I do find myself, like, reminding myself sometimes to slow down and cherish a moment that seems so stupid and silly in the grand scheme of things, but it's just, like, a very, it probably seems like a nothing moment
but it's like an everything moment. No one cares about those parts though, really.
No, they don't make for a very exciting movie at all.
No. But I like that this movie did show that. I thought it was kind of nice that they didn't just show, like, this very exciting relationship. Inevitability of
heartbreak. I don't think I really had a full thought for that. I was basically just thinking about the idea that everyone has experienced some kind of heartbreak. And just mm-hmm. how that is such a core part of being human and living. Like, in one of the shots, we see that in the waiting room, Joel's looking around, and the guy next to him has, like, a kid's trophy. And then they pan past a woman who has, she's sobbing, and she has a bunch of her dogs.
All her dogs.
Yeah. And I was thinking, because I literally, at 4 a.m., will just break down thinking about the idea of Zucchini not being here. It's a part of having gotten the honor of loving her and being in her life, that we all have to experience those moments. Like, the spotless mind. I mean, that's literally a baby. Like, we're not babies for a reason. You don't want to be a baby for a reason. You know, we grow from those, like, losses and heartaches, no matter how much they suck.
Do you ever... I find myself doing this sometimes. I don't know if this is normal or what, but do you ever just find yourself, when I'm in a room with other people... Sometimes I just, like, oftentimes, like, people I don't really know, and I'll just look around, and I can't, like, help but think, like, how much pain all those people have gone through.
I do that, too!
Do you? Okay. I don't know if it's good, but thanks for validating me.
This is in no way, this, like, tells you nothing about whether it's normal or not.
No, because you do it, so it does not make Yeah, and I'll get, like, sad sometimes just thinking about sometimes getting lost, like, looking at one person and just, I don't even know what pain. I'm not, like, playing pretend in my head. I just know that they've experienced, like, so much pain. They're also a person who's just here in this moment and has, like, all the shit they're hanging on to.
Yeah.
Something weird about that.
Sometimes I feel so moved by the idea that they made it here, you know, like,
because, like, everyone has overcome so much. Like, I don't know, it's always fucking crazy to me. I think that, like, you know, you interact with people and they also go home and no one sees them, and they're alive constantly, just like you are, and they're just, like, also doing things and having all of our own thoughts and feelings throughout the day, just as many as you're having. And then you just see them as this, like, you just experience them as this person and this...
Who pops in and out of existence whenever you see them. Yeah.
It's really weird and, like, sad and beautiful, and I don't know what that has to do with anything. I don't think we were...
I think it fits the vibe of the movie.
I guess I just want validation for staring off into space and thinking about people's traumas. Gosh, we're reading this book in book club that I hate. Just one thing about it that stood out to me was this guy is talking about, like, oh, his dog died. It's nonfiction, by the way. So his dog dies and he's like, oh, and I was so sad, so I took drugs and then I was happy. And then my son was, like, upset, so I was able to help him, like, feel better and, like, be there for him because now I was happy. And I was so upset reading that because it was, like, you're depriving yourself the grieving process, which I think is so important. Like, happiness is not, like, an epitome. You shouldn't just strive to just be happy all the time. There really is something to grieving and feeling that and going through that process and allowing yourself to live through the hurt. And then also, I felt like he took that away from his family and, like, them being able to grieve along with him. Because it's something everyone has to go through, and it's such an important part of life. And kind of like this, right? What this movie is a lot of people wanting to avoid grieving, but there's so much about grieving that changes who you are as a person and, like, these other parts of you, and sometimes it hurts forever. But
what does grief and grieving mean to you?
As someone who has grieved and who has also not been able to grieve properly at times, like I think grieving makes things complete. Like, it's the thing that you do after loss. Loss doesn't matter unless there's people who are hurting. And, like, even after, like, my cat died, if you had asked me while it was happening, like, would you like to stop feeling this immense pain? I may have been like, yeah, please, because this really hurts. But now where I am with that, I'm glad that I experienced it. And I still feel like I'm grieving. It's just different. It's less intense, you know? I still have moments of grieving her, and just like this weird way of completing a cycle but also keeping it going. And what are these relationships for if we're not going to feel them? And part of feeling them comes with losing them, because you're going to lose every relationship at some point, and that's just that's just life. And I think erasing a part of it leaves it incomplete and not fully experienced.
All right, where are we at?
I think we covered everything except for the rapid fire questions.
Yeah, do you want to do that? Rapid fire! Rapid
questions!
That's a good jingle. We could tweak it.
It's a good jingle for you.
Rapid fire, go!
Are there people or things that you would choose to erase from your memory?
No, because all those people, whether good or bad, have had a part in making me who I am today, even the bad experiences. And I do like who I am today, for the most part. What about you?
Also, no. And I'm really not convinced that if they wipe my memory, I'd wake up a different person. So then I would just be even more confused as to why I am the way that I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. It's even more just...
Yeah, I'd be curious to know from someone who would like something wiped out, like what they would like wiped out, and how it is that they feel so confident that they would want that wiped out, because that's scary.
Would you be able to get back with someone under these circumstances? So, like, if you heard that kind of tape of things being said about you, like knowing that you had gotten your memory wiped of this person because it was so terrible.
I have a hard time with this one. Because I've heard people that I've been in romantic relationships with say shitty things about me, and I've still stuck around. Not saying it's a good thing, I just have. And I don't know, like, I guess it depends how much I need at the moment.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, if there's nothing else going on for me, then maybe I would get back with them. I wish I wouldn't. I definitely wish that I wouldn't, but I might. But I don't know. I also kind of just assume that anyone that I'm with thinks nasty things about me and just doesn't tell me about it.
It's so boring because I'm the same way. Like, I have stayed in relationships where my partner said, like, mean or cruel things to me, like, about me to me. And if it was one of my girlfriends, I'd be like, no, dump his ass. Like, you know, live your life. Find someone who treats you right. And then I do not do that. And I think part of it also is that I thought uncharitable things about my partners. Like, I feel like you just can't always only think nice things about someone else, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely, like, also thought horrible things about partners. I've definitely had partners, though, who have said and thought worse things about me than I ever had about them.
Oh, God.
And then I did think it was weird that they thought so harshly about me. I'm very lovable. So lovable. Oh, that was it. We finished the rapid fire question.
Yay!
That's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yay!
We made it.
We made it. Join us in 2 weeks for... What are we going to watch? We're going to watch Sharp Objects. It's the mini series. You have enough time to watch it. Trust me.
Just pull an all-nighter the way that I do. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. It's great. It's good. It's creepy. It's good. Yay. Let's watch that.